so much for inviting my wife and I here just to share some thoughts. We're not sure whether it's a message, it's a sharing and all that. And I just pray that God will make it all very clear because we're here for a reason. And thank you, Pastor Richard, and the board and the leaders here for inviting us. And we bring you greetings from Eagle City Mission. They will be starting in about 40 minutes at the train station. Our services start at 4:30 at the train station. Well, we try to start at 4:30, you know, because they have to get smokers and all that. So we got to factor that all in so that we don't lose them. All right. So anyway, now, I think just before talking about our church, one of the things that, you know, I realized one thing. I'm not going to talk about church. We had a men's retreat about 10 days ago of the previous Saturday. My question to them was, what was the relevance of Jesus in your life for 2021? Because I think that's going to carry you through to 2022. Okay, Pastor Richard, follow up on that. No?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. We'll have a new board to sign up, you know, all your answers and all that. So please see Pastor Richard for that. But there's something which is very much in my heart and Yvonne's heart, is that, you know, our passion is to see people, every single one of us, every single one of the people who are who God calls and brings across our path to walk into the fullness of their destiny. I believe that we walk quite easily into our destiny, but I don't think there's anyone here, including myself, who's walking into the fullness of the destiny that God has called us. Well, I just want to share a little bit from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And it says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Ephesians chapter 4 comes after Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3. Just remember, in chapter 1, he's talking about salvation by his grace and his heart for us to be saved. In chapter 2, he talks about us seated with, from that point of being a believer, he talks about us being seated with him in the heavenlies. And I've told our congregation, the reason for that is he wants us to have a heavenly perspective. It doesn't make sense if I sit with him in the heavenlies and have an earthly perspective all the time. What's the point? In chapter 3, he says that he's able to do far more exceedingly abundantly than we can ever ask or imagine. It's about a build-up to who we are and how he sees us. I like it when he says, okay, now it's time to move into your calling, folks. As we enter into 2022, I think it's about time we started taking seriously the calling to which we are called. Imagine a prisoner challenging us that. And when I look at the word, I say, well, calling, that's easy. I'm a disciple, a follower of Christ. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm a child of God and all that. Whatever you can do, I'm the salt of the earth, you know. But I think today I'd like to challenge you about that fullness of your destiny, about the specific calling that he may be challenging you to walk into for 2022. We're here to talk about, you know, how we got started church, but I just want to put that to you because it may not be a homeless ministry. It may just be some other ministry, whatever it is. I think the call today, my challenge to you is let's be obedient to that call. My wife is a better storyteller. She'll talk about how we started and, you know, and we are just going to sort of mix and match, so I hope you'll make some sense out of this. In 2007, in May, God put on our hearts to start Eagle City Mission. So we meet in the it's at the City Place Community Center at the train station. It's a place for over 55s. We didn't qualify then. Okay, we do now. So and they meet. You know, the over 55s have breakfast and lunch there from Monday to Friday. But we get the place for Sunday evening. So our service is at 4:30 every Sunday, except when there's a lockdown. The last year we had to close down for 14 months. And that really affected our congregation because, hey, we are not Facebook savvy, and, you know, the phone numbers they give us are all wrong anyway. It's probably their friends. So that you irritate your friend and say, who's calling me? You know, it's like... So that's the nature of our church communication, which is nothing, except, you know, whatever they spread, the news that they spread in the streets. Because don't forget, a lot of them may have units, but they actually still go to the streets to get their free food. May talk about that a bit later. So God started that, and He put in our hearts to start the church before May. And I said, well, what's the strategy? I've come from Singapore, a big church in Singapore. We are both Malaysians, but we lived in Singapore for a long time. And I come from FCBC, largest church in 1995. Now it's not. But the thing is, there's a big church mentality that we may, you know, that we were sort of trained into for that those 3 years that we were at FCBC. And I asked God a beautiful question, which probably your board and your pastor would have had and asked. I said, God, if you want us to start a church, what's your strategy? Because we want to be obedient to your strategy. And we waited like good, faithful servants. And He said, love and accept. I said, not strategy. That's lifestyle. I said, strategy. He has not spoken since then. He has not changed. He may have misunderstood my question, or I may have misunderstood his answer. The thing is, he's challenged us then. Love and accept. Now, mind you, we had only been associate pastors. We have helped in pastoring. We have not pastored a church. We've been in full-time ministry. We had our own ministry to do with, you know, healing. But pastoring a church... we need a strategy. And He says, love and accept, honor and respect. Makes it worse. Well, because we didn't know. But before that, before starting, He asked Basil, and Yvonne had a different, she listened to a different thing that he said. Well, I said, and I remember that because we were doing this ministry, and by the way, this year is our 25th year of full-time ministry. We just finished in July. When we're doing this ministry, we realize that so many Christians are not going to church. And this is before YouTube. And so I heard like the Holy Spirit saying, are you prepared to provide a church that will be a home to the homeless? And I thought at that time, homeless Christians or churchless Christians. He had other plans. So when we started church, it's all by word of mouth. There was no website, no nothing. And when the homeless came in, they just, by word of mouth, 2 became 4, became 8, became 16 in our first year. Within 6 months, we were hitting 100 people coming to church. I had no idea where they were. You know what? Coming from FCBC and other churches, and we were in other churches here in Australia as well. We had to rethink and redo church because it's not working. And we didn't have the experience. It made sense then. We said love and accept. Because during worship, we had fights. Because then they realized, now that they're more sober, last night they were drunk, that this man ran away with his partner. And they're all coming to church. I was slapped in the face in front of my congregation just before my message, which, thank God, changed the message into a message on forgiveness. What's the point of talking about calling then? Hey. Oh, we had so many incidents. When we refused to allow a woman, a lady to come up, she had just been released from jail. She refused to come up. We let her come up once. I let her come up twice to share that Jesus loves you. And the third time she wanted to come up and say, no, sorry. You know, let the others have a chance to come up and just share like a testimony. I was trying to apply in the kingdom of the blind, 1 Corinthians 14:26, where we gather together, brethren. Each one has a testimony, a song. And of course, they have not read their Bible, so they didn't understand that, but they had something to share, of course. And when I said no to this lady for the third time, she started pushing the tables and chairs, and we had to escort her out. And then she did something which was not very nice, and then she just took off her panties and peed in front of the front door, in front of everybody. What would you do in your church here, yeah, just out there? I think she went back to jail after that, not for that reason. But we had to rethink church. I mean, God said love and accept. Now, I said, Lord, makes sense. Now we are trying to ask him to change his mind not to love and not to accept, but he's not changing his mind for that one. And then I said, Lord, we need to have a foundational principle on which to build this church. And he gave us Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, which you are all very, very familiar with. But in that embodies and covers everything that's very much a passion of our hearts. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you, because the Lord has anointed me, the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach good tidings to the poor. It's about the gospel. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That would be an understatement in our church. Because we have to deal with people with meth problems. We have to deal with people with mental issues. We have to deal with people who would remember you today and forget you next week because they were under the influence of whatever. We have to deal with people who were selling drugs in the toilet, which put us at risk because we were renting the place. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. So are you prepared now, again, to be a home, to be a church, which will be a home to the what may seem like the marginalized, the despicable in society, and to accept and love them, to honor and respect them. Isaiah 61. And so we held on to that. But then he gave us another verse, which is in Matthew 28. And you know that very well. What? Once you bring them to that place of healing, once you bring them to the place of restoration, and in that place of restoration, you equip them, then you need to empower them so that they can go out and reach and evangelize and complete the full circle again. And Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go and make disciples, but just go. Just go. And I think that's what our church has been founded on as we attempt to move into the calling with which we are called. I think I'd like to stop there. I'd like Yvonne to come up. I told you, she's a nice storyteller. She doesn't know what she's going to talk about. Please pray for her right now while you're waiting for her to come up. And we really appreciate your kindness to do that, yeah.
For once, I have no stories. I'll try. Each time we come to a beautiful place like this, my mind starts wondering, what would our people do in this place? We'll be like those parents, you know, when your children, you've got very naughty children who are misbehaving and you've got guests and you're praying they will behave when your visitors arrive. We're like that, or we were like that. Each time there were visitors, we think like, I hope they behave. I hope these people don't start fighting. I hope they don't throw things at each other. Somebody can be giving a testimony and someone will walk past and throw water on his face. We deal with racial issues, you know, black versus a non-white versus white. And that's very interesting because both Basil and I are mixed. Some of you may have realized that. And the one thing I used to hate about myself was that I was mixed. I used to tell the Lord, why couldn't you make me pure anything? White, black, yellow, Chinese. But I'm not pure anything. And John Dawson once spoke to us in Singapore. He just said, what race are you? Which I found very funny because in Singapore or Malaysia, we blend with the crowd, right? We could just blend with everybody. And he said, the Lord tells me there's a reconciliation of races within you. What are you? And we are both. Our mothers are Chinese and our fathers kind of haven't figured out what they are yet. But but it's so funny when the people come up to us. Like we've had the First Nations people coming up to us and they said, you're white to him because you're white. And he said, show me which part of me is white. You're black. No, you're not black. So they can't play the race card with both of us. It's amazing how God is using that. The very thing the enemy tried to get me to feel so insecure about, that's what the Lord is using, which I find quite interesting. Edmund Chan was kind of unofficially mentoring us in, I think, 2005, 2006. And one day he said to us, your time has come. This is after the Lord told us to start this church, and we hadn't done it yet. He sat down opposite us in Southlands and he said, your time has come. What are you both waiting for? And we were shocked because we hadn't shared with anybody. And he says, Basil, I'm sorry, but God is calling you to be a radical pastor, an extraordinary pastor in a radical church. If you try to be ordinary, you will die first and your church will die with you. I don't think he meant a literal death, but it's quite funny because our church is anything but ordinary. And sometimes, you know, as Basil said, we don't know whether they were coming or going. So in 2001, Cindy Jacobs prophesied over us that God was calling us both to build his church here in Perth, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Now, I never liked that kind of word because it implies that the gates of hell are going to try and prevail against you. And she said, but it's been so hard for the two of you. So she's telling us how hard it was back then. And she's saying that the gates of hell are going to try and prevail against us. And I guess they did. They tried. And then she said, God is calling you to minister to those whom others have forgotten about. God is calling you to minister to a forgotten people. This is 2001. Our church only began in 2007. So we're wondering, like, who are these forgotten people? We couldn't figure out. Never in our wildest dreams did we imagine there would be street people, people who were on drugs. And by God's grace, he didn't tell us. Because if he had told us, I would have run in the opposite direction. I couldn't imagine myself doing that. Then when he spoke to us, we were at a conference in Sydney, and the guy who started the Dream Center in LA was speaking, and God spoke to both of us at the same time that this is what he wanted us to do in Perth. So Basil had his own revelation from the Lord, you heard, you know, love and accept. And to me, who doesn't like cooking, who can go for 5 days without cooking for my husband, I mean, once the kids left home, he says, feed them. And I said, sure, Lord, I can start a soup kitchen, sandwiches and soup. He said, I didn't say soup kitchen, I said church. And I want you to feed them in your church. And then he added, do not feed them what you would not feed your kids at home. So I knew soup and sandwiches were out. So thus began, and the lady I put in charge of kitchen, she's now with us, she's 36 years old, she was 21 when we started. She rang her mother to find out how to boil eggs. Not rice, eggs. And I had no idea about mass cooking. So between the two of us, we started feeding them. God's ways, that's one thing we found. God's ways are far higher than our ways. He doesn't respect all our little concerns. So after God tells you things, how many of you do this? When God makes it so clear, start the church, feed them, love and accept. Confirmation, Lord, I need some confirmation from your word. Do you do that? God has already spoken so clearly, but because you don't want to do it, you want confirmation, right? So I wanted the confirmation. I said, Lord, I'm a woman of the word. Please confirm to me that this is what you're telling me to do, telling us to do, to deal with the marginalized. And so one day, I happened to be reading Matthew chapter 25, and I came to verse 31. You know, at the end of the age, he says, when the sheep and the goats, for the people stand before him. Some say they're goat on sheep nations, some say they could be individuals, and he separates the sheep from the goats. And he says to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And what is the reason he gives for inheriting the kingdom? You went out and saved 1 million souls? Anybody knows what the next verse says? Come, you blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry. That shocked me. I mean, I know the verse. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I'm going to read it all. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and all of that? And the king answered them, I tell you the truth. Just as you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. And I thought, Lord, I'm in trouble. Because I didn't fancy doing any of those things. I tell you the truth, just as you did it for the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. And he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you are cursed into the eternal fire. And he will say, for I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not receive me as a guest. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And they will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry? And so on and so forth. And the Lord said, I tell you the truth, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. When I read those verses, I thought, this was the answer I didn't want. This was the confirmation I did not want. And so we started church, not knowing to expect. The first day, I still remember, the first day, a First Nations person walked in from the streets. We were like, hallelujah, we have arrived. And then slowly more and more came, and then the fights began, and then all kinds of things happened, and things got stolen. Like, no, we can't just kind of leave our handbags on the seat until today. We have to, like, it's such a luxury to be able to leave your handbag and go and get a drink. We don't do that in our church. And all people have mental health issues. A few Christmases ago, there was this lady who came dressed as a lady Santa, and she was helping here and helping there and going everywhere. And I looked at her, I thought, oh, you know, somebody brought her in. Later on, someone said, Yvonne, who's this lady? I said, oh, I thought you brought her in. She said, no, not me. Didn't you bring her in? No, not me. Did you bring her in? She was a lady with mental health issues. And she was going around and just causing trouble. Not that mental health people cause trouble. I'm not saying that at all. But she was just going around. And we just felt so sad for her that maybe she was trying to be accepted. She was trying to be received. So I think someone took her aside, gave her a drink, you know, welcomed her. And assured her that she didn't have to do these things for us. So we meet people like that. You welcome somebody at the door. I said, where are you from? What does it matter where I'm from? I've sown my seed. I'm reaping 100-fold. You get weird answers from our people. So And we have people going up to give their testimony. Jesus loves me. I'm gay. God loves me. What do you say? Very quickly, we learned that you need to ask. We had to let them run what they wanted to say by one of the leaders. You know, I'm bisexual. I'm homosexual. What does it matter? Maybe you should send some of them here to give testimonies, yeah? How about it? See, when God called us, I'm looking at my clock. Years and years ago, before this began, when God called us to the healing ministry, we happily thought it was ministering healing, deliverance to individuals across the body of Christ. Very quickly, and even now more so, we realize that he wants us to minister to his bride, the church. The church needs help. Relationships need help. I mean, you know, how many churches talk about problems, people not talking to each other? You know, the good thing about our church is this, they don't talk behind our back. They tell us straight to our faces. You suck. You're sick. Look at the food you gave us, just so we know exactly where we stand. Rubbish food. Why would you give us this? We never have problems about backstabbing. You stole my woman. Pastor, you're after my woman. Yeah, sure. Okay. And we're discovering now, realizing more and more, that healing takes place best in community, the body ministering to the body, and people are rising up within the church. One of the things we've also learned from our church, when I say our church, I mean the people who come, to cut out all what we call Christianese. You know what's Christianese? The cliches we dish out. This lovely lady, who is quite a well-known pastor in the city, announced her topic, unfortunately for her. Today I'm going to speak on unforgiveness, and up jumps this lady at the back. Are you speaking from experience? Because otherwise I'm not listening to you. See, you guys need some fun in your church. And then we had this friend of ours, theologically trained, give this beautiful message on the cross. He brought some red wool, you know, object lesson. And these two drunks at the back, listening to how Jesus gave up his life. He committed suicide, they shouted from the back. And this guy said, no, he willingly laid down his life. Told ya, suicide. You see how they think? But it makes you think very carefully before you say anything. Basil, our first Father's on Mother's Day, happy Father's Day. Somebody from the back, what's so blank, 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 happy about it? What's so happy about it? A lot of them have grown up on the streets. A lot of them are on the streets because of the condition of their families. Many of them cannot read or read very poorly. At the Bible study, we've gone from using the New King James to the Living Bible. Now we use picture Bibles for adults. Adults. Adult men and women are using picture Bibles because they couldn't make sense of even the Living Bible. So we don't take anything for granted. And how many people have gone up to Basil and said, Father? I don't know why some of them love to call him Father. Or Basil, or Father, I've been observing you for the last 6 months, for the past year. You practice what you preach. I can stay here. That scares you, doesn't it? When you know you're being observed. So we're learning that we need to walk the talk. We talk about it, but we really need to walk the talk. And when Jesus told us to welcome all, he meant all. So one day we went home. We're going home after church in the car, and we said, what's the smell in the car? I said, what did you bring? Did you leave something in the car? He said, no. I said, like, did you leave something in the car? And I said, no. I said, did you leave something in the car? We couldn't figure out where that foul smell was coming from. Finally, we discovered it was from us. Because we hugged them. And we discovered the smell was coming from our clothes. But you know what? We felt so happy that, gosh, we're hugging these people. And that's what one person said. We go to what do you call it? This where they get free meals. We get fed, but you guys hug us. You guys welcome us. And that's what the Lord is teaching us. They are the same. They need to be loved. They so need to be loved. I had a guy who came to talk to me. He said, I'm a backslidden Pentecostal son. He looked like he was in his 40s or 50s. I'm the backslidden Pentecostal son of a backslidden Pentecostal pastor. I looked at him. I didn't know what to say. I think I mumbled some incoherent things for a few minutes. What do you say? There's so many people like that. Left their church, left this and left that, and angry with God, angry with church. You know. As Basil said, we've had to rethink, and we are still having to rethink. After they shut us down for 14 months because of COVID, where nobody, we had to start from scratch because we didn't have any phone numbers, any email addresses. But I think in all of this, God is telling us transformation, healing is possible. Even with people who are so marginalized, who are so unloved. And people have told us straight to our faces, Christians, why do you waste your money on these people? They are so ungrateful. Which is true, they're not very grateful. And yeah, we'd love to go to Cambodia, the Philippines, and you know, those places where I'm sure we'll be received better. But God has called us to these forgotten people in our own city. And I think once somebody gave us a trip to Canada and our friend was showing us around and, Canada is a very beautiful country, but guess when we both got the most excited? We drove past some street people and we both went, oh, street people, street people. And she said, my goodness, you're more excited about the street people than our beautiful Canadian mountains, you know? So what have we both been trying to tell you in the little bit of sharing that we've done? Our journey has been a journey of faith. It's been one of listening, I think, or attempting to listen and obeying. Has it been easy? I would love to say it's been a bed of roses. It hasn't been easy, but I tell you what, it's been exciting, it's been fulfilling. I would not exchange this for anything normal. Like, every Sunday we don't know what's going to happen, who's going to be there, like, two Sundays ago. By the way, when you see couples with babies, it's very rare that they're married to each other, okay? Very rare that their children are even from the same parents. So this couple brought in their Asian dad and Aussie mum and brought in their child, and then somebody else walked in whom we recognize as her father, then somebody else walked in whom we realized was the father's girlfriend. When the girlfriend walked in, the couple walked up. Those things happen all the time. I don't like him, I'm leaving. Why is she in church? I'm leaving. So we're dealing with this on a day-to-day basis. That's why the strategy was very simple, love and accept. We've been misunderstood, we've been criticized, why can you do things differently? But isn't that how God works? I tell you, when you seek to obey the Lord, God's ways, the ways of the Holy Spirit, will get you into a lot of trouble. Because men's suggestions are usually doable. When God tells you to do something, it's usually impossible without His help. And I think that's all. You want to say anything else?
Well, I hope that sort of gives you a bit of an insight on what goes on. I think Yvonne touched on something just now. It's about transformation. Feeding does not transform lives. But the transformation requires discipleship, requires commitment on their part. And I just want what has happened in the 2 minutes, 1 minute I have, what has happened is we've moved our Bible study to the train station where we meet every Sunday. So on a Tuesday, so what was usually about 5 people attending a Bible study in East Perth where our office was, now we get up to 21. And the person who's in charge of the Bible study, he was in the streets for 2 years before somebody asked him to come to our church and say, hey, there's a good feed in this place. Do you want to come? So the guy followed. And this other guy who brought him, his name was Paul, he left. And this guy, Shane, has been with us now for 9 years since. And he's now taken over the Bible study. And he calls them street saints. And it's amazing what God is doing. And it's been very challenging for us. We are still learning. And that's the thing. It keeps us on our toes because we have a balance between God's grace and on the other hand, you know, what is required and due diligence, what's required of the law. Because now you got safe churches and all that. I just end on this note. What would you do if somebody comes up for at an altar call and says, "Pastor, can you please pray for me?" Definitely. That's what the altar call is for. I say, "What's the prayer?" "Can you please pray that I'll not fornicate with my woman who's going to come out of jail tomorrow?" Those are the exact words. I'll leave that with you to decide how you would pray for a person like that. But therein lies God's heart for people who are so honest. The guy tells me, "Well, I've been here and there." And I say, "Okay, which jail was it?" "I've taken a break." "Yeah, which jail?" And they're honest that way. Like Yvonne says, no backstabbing. They just kill you if they want to, you know. So, but anyway, over to you. Thank you very much for listening. And over to, and thank you for inviting us.